Andrew Womack Ministries presents part 4 in Who God Is and Who We Are, a 4-part series. This teaching by Andrew is titled, Seeing with the Heart. We pray that the Word of God will come alive in your heart as you listen.
It has been a real honor to get to share the Word with you, and I've heard so many testimonies. I've talked to hundreds of people during this conference, and you've just heard so many good things about how God has changed your life and miracles of healings and things like that. And there's so much more that I'd like to share. Just, is there anybody here that this is your first service? Anybody? There's a few hands. Praise God. Glad you're here. You know, we haven't announced it, but I'm sure that we have CDs or DVDs or USBs of this whole thing out there. And so anyway, go out to the product table, and I'd encourage you to get the whole thing. It's been really good. And Wendell and Dwayne have just been powerful. Man, haven't you enjoyed them? They've been a blessing. But I started talking about what the true nature of God is on Friday night, and then on Saturday I talked about what the nature of man is without God, which is really important, because otherwise you won't appreciate what God has done for us if somehow or another you think that you deserved all of this. And you will tend to depend upon yourself. And that's just a recipe for disaster. You can't do anything on your own independent of God. And that's the reason that so many people fail. And then yesterday I started talking about who we are in Christ. And the thing that really set me free was to see that in my spirit I had been completely changed. And I am a completely different person in my spirit. And so that's what I started talking about. And I probably have 100 hours worth of teaching on that subject, just approaching it from different directions. So I was a little bit at a quandary about how to continue to minister on this. I'm going to minister on something that probably most of you haven't heard me talk about. If you are interested in getting more information on your identity in Christ and who you are and what God has done, I've got so much material out there. I encourage you to go get it. But let's go back to a verse that I was using yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And let me just read on through the end of the chapter, because this is really powerful. In verse 19, it says, to wit, or that is to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That is so powerful. I'm not going to teach on that, but you need to find out what that means. He does not impute your trespasses unto you. And this goes contrary to the vast majority of religion today and what they're teaching. They are teaching that God does count your sins against you. But he did not impute our trespasses unto us. What verse was that? Verse 19. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That means that God gave us the ministry of telling people that God is not holding your sins against you. And sad to say, again, most of Christianity is saying if you sin, God won't answer your prayer. God won't move in your life. God won't bless you. If you aren't seeing something happen, it's because of sin. And sin, and they just are imputing people's sins unto them. God not only forgave our sins and reconcile the world unto himself, but he told us not to be imputing people's sins unto them. I'm telling you, the church is not representing God well. Now, again, that's a broad statement. There are some great churches that are preaching the word, but as a whole, the vast majority of the body of Christ is not hearing this message. And in verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God reconciled himself unto man. Now we have to reconcile ourselves unto God in your own mind by realizing that God is not imputing sins unto you. And then in verse 21, for he hath made him, speaking about God the Father, made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You not only have had God forgive you, but you have been made the righteousness of God. Man, very few people understand this. Very few people, they see themselves as still an old sinner saved by grace. They don't understand that when God forgave you, he just not only wiped the slate clean, but he gave you his righteousness. He made you as righteous and pure as he is. Not in your physical body and not in your soulish, mental, emotional part, but in your spirit, you are as righteous and holy and pure as Jesus is because he gave you his righteousness. And if somebody says, well, all of my righteousness is like a filthy rag, that's Isaiah 64:6. And there's many religious people that know that verse and they'll say, all of my righteousness is like filthy rags. That's talking about your self-righteousness. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Jesus has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If you say that all of your righteousness is filthy rags, you're either talking about self-righteousness, which you aren't supposed to be living in, or you're calling Jesus a filthy rag. Jesus is your righteousness. He gave you his righteousness. And you've got to see yourself now in the Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The only way you can really stand before God and have a relationship with him is to stand before him in your spirit, in that part of you that is old things have passed away, all things have become new, and it is now the righteousness of God. You are in right standing with him, and you've got to learn how to fellowship with God through your spirit. When you come before God saying, oh God, I've failed you and I'm such a failure and God, I did this again and that. You know what? You aren't in the spirit. Your spirit is not defiled. Your spirit is not filthy. Your spirit is not contaminated. Even after you get born again, when you sin, that sin will defile your body. And it can give Satan an inroad into your physical body with sickness. That sin will open up your soul, your mental, emotional part to the devil. And Satan can give you fear and worry and all kinds of emotional problems and things like that. But your spirit is sealed and the sin that you commit as a Christian does not enter into your spirit. You're sealed, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and because of that, your spirit remains righteous and holy. I'd love to minister on that this morning, but I'm going to refer you to some teaching out there. I've got some teaching on that you are forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future, and it's because your spirit is sealed, and that spirit never changes. The born-again part of you is as pure and holy as Jesus. It remains that way. And when you die and go to heaven, your spirit isn't going to have to be improved upon, cleansed, dusted off, grown up, or any of those things. Your spirit is as perfect on the inside of you right now as it will ever be in eternity. The problem is that you don't have a renewed mind and you don't have a glorified body yet. And so it takes effort. And one of the things that Dwayne said last night that was really good. There was only one or two things that were really good. But one of the things he said that was really good is that for the purpose of discussion, we can separate spirit, soul, and body, but we are one. All of these things comprise one. And if you are perfect in your spirit, but if your mind doesn't know it, and if your body, if you aren't acting like you who you are in the spirit, well then, overall, you aren't going to experience all of this victory that God has provided. It's just a simple thing of your three parts, spirit, soul, and body. You get your soul in agreement with your spirit. You get your mind stayed upon the things of God. That's two against one. And you will just automatically see the supernatural power of God flow through your body. And you'll be healed and delivered and all of these things. Prospered. It'll all work. If your mind and in your spirit are together. And Dwayne also said one other good thing. And that was that our spirit is comprised of the soul and the spirit together. It's not, most people use those things interchangeably and they talk about their heart being their spirit. But no, your heart is your soul and your spirit combination. And that's the reason the Bible says you have to believe with all of your heart. You can believe with just part of your heart. Your spirit is always believing. Your spirit doesn't know how to operate in unbelief. Your spirit is always turned on to God, but your soul isn't always. That's the reason you have to believe with all of your heart. And when you get all of your heart in agreement, that's two against one, and I guarantee you the power of God will flow. But if you get your mind over here to where you are controlled by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, physical, and you are letting emotions dominate you, that's two against one, and it stops the flow of the power of God that's on the inside of you. So even though for the purpose of discussion, we talk about spirit, soul, and body, you've got to realize all of these comprise one thing, and you've got to get your mind and your spirit in agreement before you see the power of God flow through you. So anyway, there's so many powerful things I'd love to say about that. Let me back up to verse 16 again. I mentioned this yesterday, but it says in verse 16, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." And I mentioned this very briefly yesterday, that we shouldn't know people by just their physical thing, whether they're tall, short, fat, skinny, what color they are, whether they're male or female. We shouldn't deal with people based on external things. And that's what this is saying. But remember who wrote this. This is the Apostle Paul that wrote this. And Paul said that he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, which was the leading rabbi. And of course, you know, during Jesus' ministry, the rabbis, the Pharisees were always there criticizing Jesus. And I just cannot believe that Jesus, his ministry in Jerusalem did not draw Paul's attention. I'm sure that Paul saw Jesus. He probably was among some of the Pharisees that were there criticizing Jesus and talking about him. And Paul saw Jesus during his ministry in Jerusalem. And so I believe that when he says we have known Jesus after the flesh, Paul had seen Jesus. Paul could have told you how tall Jesus was, what he looked like, what his mannerisms were like. Paul saw Jesus, but he only knew him after the flesh. He didn't realize who he was really dealing with. And what I want to share with you today is that even his disciples didn't realize it takes faith to recognize who Jesus is, and it takes faith for you to recognize who Jesus is on the inside of you. But stop and think about this. And again, for time's sake, I'm going to go through some of this very quickly. But there are 14 different instances where after Jesus was raised from the dead that he appeared unto people. First one, he appeared unto Mary Magdalene. And just for time, I'm not going to turn over there and show you all of this. But when he appeared unto Mary Magdalene, she didn't recognize who he was. And she talked to him at first. And finally, she thought he was the gardener. And she says, "If you've borne away my master's body, tell me where you put him." And it was when he said unto her, Mary, the way that he said it, she recognized his voice and she fell at his feet and begin to worship him. But she didn't recognize him at first. And sometimes it's a little bit subtle, but if you read every single account of his post-resurrection appearances, his disciples didn't recognize him. Let me show you one of these over here in John chapter 21. And Jesus had already appeared unto his disciples. On the resurrection day, he appeared and the doors were locked and he just walked into the room. And he was present. And they didn't recognize him at first. He says, "It's me." He says, "Touch me, feel. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have." But over here in John chapter 21, this is one of his appearances to his disciples. And in John chapter 21, Peter had told the other disciples, "I'm going to go fish." And so they all said, "We're going with you." And so they were in a boat and they had been fishing all night long. and they hadn't caught anything. And it says in verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now you might be able to say here, well, maybe they were so far away, they just didn't recognize him. They weren't close enough. But as you continue reading that, reading this, that's not the reason. In verse 5, it says, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. If you were to go back to Luke chapter 5, this is very familiar to when he first called these disciples. He was preaching to the people, and he asked if he could borrow their boat, and he went out and he taught out of the boat. And then after he was through teaching, he told them to go out and let down their net for a catch. And they said, we've been fishing all night long and haven't caught anything. And he says, launch out into the deep and let down the nets. Paul used that when he was receiving the offering on Saturday. And so they let down the net, singular, and they took so many fish. They called their partners. They filled up both boats, and they were so full of fish that the boats began to sink. So this had already happened to them. And Jesus, even though they'd been fishing all night long, he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, that's talking about John, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. I don't believe this means that he was naked the way we talk about it. He just didn't have on his outer garments and stuff. And he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? You know, if you think about this, this is amazing. It says none of them were bold enough to say, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. But why would they even put it in there that none of them would dare ask him, who are you? It's because they didn't recognize him by the flesh. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. We used to recognize Jesus by the flesh, but when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't have a physical body anymore. He had a glorified body, and it still resembled the same body, because he even told in the 20th chapter of John, he told Thomas, put your finger into the print of the nails and put your hand into my side. So he still, it wasn't like it was a different body. It wasn't like he looked differently. But here's something that I don't know exactly how to get this across. I've seen it bigger on the inside than what I'm able to say it. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to discern spiritual things with your spirit. And we are so used to discerning things with our carnal senses, going by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. The disciples, when Jesus was on this earth, they only knew Jesus after the flesh. They could tell you what he looked like. And you know what? Jesus didn't have hotels to stay in the way we do. They didn't take a shower every day. He didn't have a change of clothes every day. Jesus had a smell about him. They could have told you what Jesus smelt like. They had felt him. They touched him. They had seen him. They knew him after physical, natural things. But when he was raised from the dead, he was in a glorified body. It wasn't a different looking body, but it was spiritual. And you can't discern spiritual things with carnal senses. I don't know how to make that any clearer than that. But you have to use your spirit to discern the Lord now. Did you know that when Jesus was in his earthly body, Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. But he was in a physical, natural body that acted like a veil that covered who he really was. On the Mount of Transfiguration, 17th chapter of Matthew, when he was in the presence of the Lord worshiping him, all of a sudden it's like he pulled the veil back and the glory that was inside of him began to radiate. It was different than Moses. Moses was in the presence of God and that glory was reflected on his face. But Jesus was the glory of God. And it's just like he pulled a curtain back and all of a sudden light began to come from him. And they saw the visible manifestation of God's glory. And they heard an audible voice from God saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." And so that's who Jesus was all of the time. But he kept it inside of this body because people couldn't have related to him. You know, when the Bible says that if you see God, you'll die. No man can see God and live. I don't believe it's because God is so private that if you were to see him, he'd just kill you. You couldn't live. It's because his glory is so awesome that our physical bodies literally could not contain his glory. We would self-destruct if we were to see the glory of God. And so Jesus wrapped his true self, his spiritual self, inside of a physical body. It was natural. It wasn't sinful, but it was completely natural. And people, Paul was saying, only knew him by the flesh. But now we have to know him by the Spirit. And you can know God by your Spirit better than if you were to know him in the natural. I wish I had better words to say this. You have to get this by revelation. But you can know God through the Spirit better than if you know him in your physical, natural means, by seeing, hearing, touching, things like that. You know, when the movie, the Passion of the Christ came out, I had one of my friends tell me that he went and saw that and it just totally shattered his life. He said he'd never be the same. He says it made the crucifixion come so alive and everything. And so he encouraged me to go see it. So I went and saw it and I was anticipating this life-changing encounter with the Lord when I saw that movie. And when I saw it, I'm not critical of Mel Gibson at all. I mean, all he could do, you know, you're limited when you're using physical things, when you're only looking and hearing, you're limited with that. So I'm not critical of him. I believe he did a great job showing the crucifixion of Jesus. But when I was watching that, I was actually disappointed. Because all it could do was, it could only depict so much. And as I was watching that, I was thinking, God, this, what I know, what I've seen in my heart is so much more real. It's so much greater than what I'm seeing with my eyes and hearing with my ears. And I was actually disappointed. And I was thinking, what's wrong with me? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he says, "You have known me by the Spirit. My Spirit has revealed to you through the Word of God things," like, for instance, the scripture over in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14 says that his face was marred more than any man that has ever lived on the earth. Mel Gibson in that movie didn't depict that. It was bad, but it wasn't as bad as what the scripture says. And it goes on to say that his form was so marred that he didn't even look human. In that movie, he still looked like a human being that had been brutalized, but he still looked human. The Bible says he didn't even look human. And I believe that's because every sickness and every disease, every tumor, every deformity that has ever happened in the human race all entered into the body of Jesus. And his body was so brutalized, he didn't even look human hanging on the cross. And through the Word, I've seen these things. And what I was seeing in that movie wasn't as graphic, it wasn't as real to me as what I had seen by my heart. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, "I've revealed it to you by the Spirit. And seeing by the Spirit is actually better than seeing with your physical eyes." Most people don't get this. Most people don't know that there's any other way to see. But you can see things with your heart. And this is what it's saying. These disciples that were there on that lake, they didn't recognize him in the flesh. You can't perceive spiritual things with physical, natural means. And they were used to just going by what they, you know, could see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. They didn't know how to live out of their spirit. And they had to accept by faith that it was Jesus. Let me show you another passage that makes this even clearer, I believe, is over in Matthew chapter 28. And this is right before Jesus was caught up into heaven. Verses 19 and 20 are what we call the Great Commission. And Jesus spoke this. And then according to Acts chapter 1, he was caught up into heaven. So this is the very last time that his disciples had ever seen him. And look at this. In Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples," of course, Judas had hung himself, so there was only 11 disciples left. "They went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Some of who? Some of these 11 disciples, the people that spent 3.5 years with him, day and night, for 3.5 years, some of these people doubted that this was really Jesus. This is phenomenal. This is amazing to me. They were looking at him right in the face. They were right there and they doubted that this was really Jesus raised from the dead. Because you can't perceive spiritual things with your physical, natural mind. And on the positive side of this, you can perceive spiritual things when you operate by faith and live out of your spirit. You can actually see better with your heart than you can see with your eyes. And this isn't just a little weird or strange. This is like totally contrary to what most people think. But you have an ability to know things by your heart, by your spirit, that goes far beyond your physical ability. I bet you every person in here at one time or another has faced a decision and you prayed and asked God for leadership and you went ahead and went with just, you know, carnal wisdom. It looked like this was the wise thing to do, but you didn't feel good about it. In your heart, you went ahead and did it, and as soon as it turned into a disaster, I bet you every person in there said, "I knew I wasn't supposed to do that." You know what that was? You know things by the Spirit, and yet we have been taught to reject all of that. But you can know things by the Spirit better than you can know it by your physical eyes. You have to get to where you perceive who you are, and the way you do that is the Word of God. The Word of God paints a picture of who you are, and you have to get to where you go by what the Word of God says more than by your physical senses. You know, I've used this example before, but I'm going to use it again because it's a classic for me. But we were holding a meeting. There was about 200 or 300 people present. It was an invitation for people to come to Charis Bible College, and we were in a service, and there was an aisle like this, and I was sitting on the aisle seat right here. And over on that side, there were these double doors. And we were worshiping the Lord, and Jamie was leading us and singing hallelujah. And I mean, it was a manifest presence of the Lord. It was just powerful. And I had my eyes closed. And as my eyes were closed, I saw those two doors over there just fling open like this. I mean, violently come open, and they hit against the wall. And then the closers on it, they just closed real slowly. And Jesus walked through that door and stood in front of those doors, and then they closed behind him. And then he walked over, and there were two women over here that I knew, and he walked over and touched one on the head, and she just fell face first on the ground with her arms spread out like this. And then he skipped two people and touched this next woman, and she fell on her knees and put her hands up like this. And what I was seeing in my heart, I wasn't seeing this with my eyes. It wasn't an open vision. It was just like Dwayne was talking last night. It was impressions. It was pictures. I was seeing things in my heart. It was so real to me that I opened up my eyes to see what was going on. And as soon as I opened my eyes, those doors just wham, flew open like this, but there was nobody there. And then they closed, and I couldn't see Jesus. I couldn't see anything in the flesh, but I saw the physical results of what was happening in the spirit, and those doors closed. And then I kept watching, and that first woman just fell down, spread eagle on the ground, worshiping the Lord. Two people down, the other woman hit her knees and lifted her hands up. And did you know, everything that I was seeing in my heart, I could see it in the physical with my eyes, except I could only see what was happening in the physical. I could see the way people were responding to it. I could see the doors, the way that they opened, but I couldn't see Jesus. I couldn't see the spiritual part, but I could see the physical results of it. And what I was seeing in my heart was so real that I actually closed my eyes because I could see better with my heart than I could see with my eyes. And I saw the Lord come over and he spoke some things to me. And then he just zigzagged down this aisle like this, touching people and speaking to them. And I was facing forward, so I didn't actually know who was back there and where they were sitting. But in my heart, I saw him walk back and talk to people. And so after the service was over, I just went up to people and I said, "So what happened to you?" And they would say exactly what I heard the Lord tell them. And I was hearing and seeing all of this. And brothers and sisters, this is what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. It's saying that's normal for the believer. We should be walking by faith and not by sight. And yet the fact is, most Christians are walking exclusively by sight and not by faith. Faith is the exception rather than the rule, but it's not meant to be that way. Did you know that John, when he laid on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, did you know that that was the glory of God inside of Jesus, but it was hidden? His flesh actually hid who Jesus was. There's people that say, "I wished I'd have been one of the disciples. I wished I'd have been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, when Jesus performed all the miracles. Then I'd have believed." Did you know it's easier to believe now than if you had have been one of Jesus' disciples? Because his flesh would have been a hindrance to you. You would have known him after the flesh. Now we have to know him by the Spirit. It's actually easier to picture Jesus sitting on the right hand of God now than it was for them to picture that. When John laid upon his breast, that was the glory of God, but he couldn't see it. He was only knowing Jesus after the flesh. When Jesus appeared unto John in Revelation chapter 1, and it says that his eyes were like flames of fire, his feet were like polished brass and a furnace. His voice was like the voice of many waters and stuff. Did you know that that's the same Jesus? It's just that the veil, the physical body was gone. Now he was seeing that glory that was there all the time. If John would have really been able to perceive who Jesus was at the Last Supper, it would have overwhelmed him the same way that it did in Revelation chapter 1. But he was only knowing him by the flesh. And this is what happens to so many Christians, is that they are only using their sense knowledge trying to understand that God is with them. But God is with you all of the time, and you have to know it by the Spirit. You can't wait on just physical feelings and emotions and tangible things to prove it to you. You got to take the record that is given in Scripture and just believe it. But God is with you. God is in you. And you have to just by faith perceive this. You have to walk by faith. Man, I wish I had time. I can't believe I'm out of time. Let me just mention some things quickly, but I hadn't got time to go into this. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you compare this with what happened to Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve were walking by the Spirit. They were living in the spirit realm. We were created to be spirit beings. I believe that when we were originally created, we didn't have just five senses, we had six senses. That sixth sense was faith. We could see with our heart. We could hear with our heart. And when they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, it's possible that that was physical, but it's also possible that they were just operating in the spirit. Because they were so spirit-led that when they sinned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 is when they ate of the tree. And then verse 7 says, their eyes were opened and that they knew they were naked. And I've heard people before say that before they sinned against God, they were clothed with the righteousness of God. They had a spiritual robe over them. And when they sinned, they lost that and they became naked. But if you read in Genesis chapter 2, I believe it's verse 25, the last verse of Genesis chapter 2, it says they were both naked, the man and his wife. They were both butt naked. They did not have some spiritual robe on. You can make a spiritual application and use an allegory with that, but they were both naked, but they didn't know that they were naked. How in the world did that happen? I believe it's because they were so God conscious. They were walking by faith that they weren't dominated by what they saw. They were seeing with their heart. They were hearing with their heart. And when they sinned, their spiritual eyes closed and their physical eyes opened. This doesn't mean that they had been walking around with their eyes closed, because they, in the sixth verse of Genesis chapter 3, they saw that the tree was good for food. So their eyes were functional, but they weren't dominated by their eyes. They were dominated by what they were seeing in their heart. But when they sinned, their spiritual sight diminished, their physical sight began to be dominant. That's the way that all of us have been raised, and we just think that this is real. I can't help it. This is what I see. There is so much more than what you see. And the opposite of this is over in 2 Kings chapter 4, where Elijah and his servant were surrounded by the Syrians, and the servant went out and saw thousands and thousands of Syrians surrounding them, and he came to Elisha and he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And Elisha said unto him, "Fear not, those that be with us are more than those that be with them." And you know, in the natural, this wasn't true. In the natural, there was thousands and thousands of Syrians and only two of them. And so what happened? Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open up the young man's eyes." I can guarantee you this isn't talking about his physical eyes. This guy's physical eyes were open, looking at all of the Syrians around about them. It isn't saying open up his physical eyes. It was talking about opening up the eyes of his heart. And when he saw with his heart, he saw the mountains surrounding them were full of horses and chariots of fire all around them. Did you know they didn't just come when the guy's eyes were open? They were there all of the time. There are things that are true in the spiritual realm, and you can't perceive them with just your little peanut brain and your physical emotions. You've got to walk by faith. And this is where people are missing it. They're praying for a healing and they're waiting until they feel it, until they see it, until they can touch it. I couldn't tell you how many times I've prayed for people, and I mean, I know that they're healed. And I say, "You're healed in the name of Jesus." And they'll say, "Okay, I'm going to go to the doctor and find out if I'm healed." And I tell you, the spirit of slap wants to come all over me. Like, what happened to you walking by faith? What happened to you believing? Some people believe that faith is just saying that something is so when it really isn't so. And if you'll say it long enough, then it'll become so. That's not faith. Faith is saying what is reality. It's just not a physical reality. It's a spiritual reality. But it's real. And you say it and you act it and you believe it. And if you believe with all of your heart, you get the spirit and the soul together. Well, then it's just impossible for the body not to manifest what is true in the spiritual realm. But brothers and sisters, we've got to start walking by faith and seeing these things, seeing who you are in Christ, that God never leaves you. If I had time, I was going to go to Luke chapter 24 and show you that the two disciples on resurrection morning walked to Emmaus. Jesus walked with them for 7 miles. That takes approximately an hour and a half to 2 hours. An hour and a half, 2 hours. Two of his disciples walked with him and didn't recognize him. because he was spiritual and they were carnal. And God is walking with every one of you, but many of you don't perceive it because you're carnal. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm just saying this is what the problem is. We have been trained to live out of our emotions, out of what we see, and you aren't going to contact that way. You know, if God wanted to, he could manifest himself physically here today. Jesus could walk into here. We could see angels flying through here. We could see things. God can do all of that. He could have a bird come sit on your shoulder every morning and talk to you. He used a donkey to talk to Balaam. A bird could come and tell you things. God could do physical things, and there are some times that things like that will happen. But the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. God wants you to know him by faith. He wants you to start walking in the Spirit. It's not that he doesn't care about you, but rather than just coming down and meeting you on this low level of just emotion and physical and sight, he's trying to bring you up, and he's given you the ability now to know him by the Spirit. It says the Spirit man has been given this unction from God, and you know all things. We just aren't using what we've got. So the point I'm trying to get across is that everything I was saying about who you are in Christ is true, but you're going to have to start perceiving it by the Spirit. You can't just depend upon your feelings. God wants you to start knowing him through the Spirit. And if you will do that, it'll change your life. When the Lord showed me this from Luke chapter 24, I tell you, it became so real to me that I've got pictures all over the place of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I look at those things and I remind myself that God, you're with me at all times. I don't care whether I feel it or not. I know it. And I believe that. And because of it, man, it has kept me through all kinds of things. And the same thing is true of every one of you. God never leaves you nor forsakes you. God is always with you. If it seems like God is a long ways off, guess who moved? It's not God. He's always with you. It's your perception. It's because you are letting your physical, you're trying to discern him in just carnal, physical ways instead of operating in faith. And you know, the strange thing is that when you get to knowing him by the Spirit and functioning this way, you will see physical things. You'll see like Uriah raised from the dead. You'll see miracles happen. And there will be physical proof. But you can get to where the Spirit is so real to you, you don't care about the physical. Amen. I tell you what. I feel like the majority of people did not get what I was trying to say. But for those of you who will receive it, this could really, really help you. You've got to start walking by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus could, you know, if I would have been Jesus and I'd have risen from the dead, I wouldn't have appeared to Mary Magdalene first. I'd have appeared to Pilate. I'd have woke him up. I'd have shook his bed and I said, "Are your hands clean now, Pilate?" I'd have gone and appeared to those soldiers that blindfolded me and spit in my face and mocked me and slapped me and said, "Prophesy if you're the Christ." And I'd have prophesied. I'd have told them some things. I'd have had everybody bowing the knee. Amen. Everybody in Jerusalem saw him crucified. I'd have just hovered over Jerusalem and let everybody see me. But Jesus never appeared to a single person that wasn't already a believer. He never forced one person to accept him. You've got to accept him by faith. It's not blind faith, because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit and there's plenty of confirmation. It's not a blind faith, but nonetheless, it is a step of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And praise God, we just need to start operating by faith and receiving these things. So Father, we thank you for this, and I believe, Father, that you are helping us to to just focus on what your word says, to accept its report, to walk by faith, to believe what you say in your word, and that, Father, this is going to change people's lives. I pray that people that have been walking in the flesh would walk out of here and start walking in the Spirit, start knowing you by the Spirit and not just by sight. And Father, I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
We hope your heart has been quickened by hearing the Word of God through this message. It's the faithful support of people like you who make this ministry possible. We invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries. We maintain a website at awmi.net. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, or you can write us at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Until next time, we pray that you'll reach out by faith and receive everything that's yours through God's grace.